Whate'er we do, I want my life to count for Jesus. For earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain. Inside my heart there burned a question. What was I placed on earth here for? It truly was to build a kingdom, not of my own, but of the Lord's. I want my life to count for Jesus. For earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain. Their chains were fastened tight down at the jail that night. Still Paul and Silas would not be dismayed. They said, it's time to lift our voice, sing praises to the Lord. Let's prove that we will trust Him, come what may. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken. He says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. He loves to hear our praise on our cheerful days, when the pleasant times outweigh the bad by far. But when suffering comes along and we still sing Him song, that is when we bless the Father's heart. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken. He says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing.
I'll get you Yankees right. Amen. Amen. And praise the Lord. Amen. I love to hear my wife play and sing. Amen. And she's my favorite singer and my favorite player. Did I say that right, honey? Or that? Yeah. And but I thank the Lord for putting us together. Amen. We're best friends. Amen. And we have a good time. And when we get together, it's just it's like a reunion. Amen. For us too, because I'm on the road all the time, traveling and preaching. And I've been going this year. I don't think I've hardly been home a week, you know, in the last 8-9 months, you know. I'd be home a day and two, and then take off and go, you know, for 3-4 weeks, be gone. And she'll fly to meet me somewhere. And that's how busy the Lord's kept. But it's been a blessing. I just been out there trying to keep churches on fire for God. Amen. And soul winning. I've been preaching 44 years now, and God's been so good to me. Amen. And hey, how many of you know it's nap time? Amen. You know that? Amen. And this is when you're supposed to be taking a nap. Amen. And but when you leave today, you get a long nap. You can go to bed early at night. Amen. And but it's a blessing here to be here, and I thank the Lord for all He's done. It was good service this morning. I told the preacher a while ago, I said, I just don't feel like I've been here long. I feel like we hadn't had as much time together, because I came in, you know, for yesterday, and then leaving the day, I'll be back. Amen. I'm like an old stray dog. You feed me, I'll stick around. Amen. I'll be back. Amen. It's just a blessing to be here. I want to get right into mess, because we're going to leave Sunday service over. My wife and I are going to get on the road. We're going to start heading back towards North Carolina, because I got to go to Arizona. And so I got to get her home, then I got to go to Arizona and be out there preaching for about a week and a half somewhere there. I want to help you this afternoon, preacher. I want to be a blessing to you and helping your church. I think you got a great church here. I really do. I think you know, I go all over the place, and I think I see some solid people that love the Lord here, and you love God, I want you to stay that way. Amen. I want you to stay that way there and keep loving God. I want you to take your Bibles, and I'm going to give you a simple truth this afternoon. And I'm going to try to keep you awake if I can. Amen. And I'm just give you a truth or truth out here and give you about 4 thoughts with it. And we're going to go to the house. Amen. And there. And let's, in the book of Job, chapter 1. Job, chapter 1 here. And while you get me there, I'm going to get my water here. And I will still continue. Well, of course, my daddy went home to be with the Lord last. My dad passed away the week before Thanksgiving last year. Dad had dementia, terrible. But in July of last year, just a few months before Daddy went home to be with the Lord, my mom was diagnosed with aplastic anemia. And if anybody knows medical stuff, you know what that is. But aplastic anemia, it means your bone marrow is only producing a little bit of red blood cells. My mom my mom was diagnosed with that. She has to get blood and platelets about every week now. Used to, she was getting it twice a week. But she at least gets it every other week or every week now, blood and platelets, and because she's losing them so fast, she's losing it. There's no cure for it. It will take her life. Matter of fact, when she was diagnosed with, they told her she'd only live about 3 months, and that was last year. And mom's just too stubborn to go. You know, see, that's my mom. If you know my mama, she is a pistol. And I mean a pistol, amen. My mama, buddy, she's just on cloud nine all the time. My mom, they told her, she's the only woman in the world, or the only one recorded in the world, that has this at her age. It's usually 30 years and younger. Younger people get it. And mama's recorded as being the only one recorded in the world as having this. And so she thinks she's a celebrity. And the doctor said, "Well, Mr. Bryan, you don't want to be a celebrity this way." Amen. And they told her, said, "Your bone marrow is only producing 5% red blood cells." She said, "Oh, I got 5%? Amen. And she just, everything's positive to her, you know. And that's probably why she's lived as long as she has. She's just a very positive woman. But my mama's a prayer warrior. My mama's a prayer warrior. She's praying for me today. I know she is. My daddy prayed. My mama prayed me back to God. My dad beat me back to God. Amen. And I'm serious. Amen. And I took both. Amen. But, I thank the Lord for my mom. But I ask you to pray for her, because we found out her medicine's not working at all. And there's nothing else they can do. And so we don't know how much longer mama will be around. And Lydia's really helped me so much with my mama. She feeds her and takes care of her and takes her to the doctor and goes to the store for her and does all that so I can travel and preach and stuff. So that's why a lot of she's not traveling with me. Take care of my mama, you know, and this. So, but I appreciate y'all would for my mama there, okay, there. So, I want you to take your Bibles. Let's stand out of respect to the Word of God here. Now, I feel that this thing, is it going in and out? Is it going in and out? What? Yeah, I believe it's on, preacher. Yeah, it's on. I hear myself. Amen. it might be them Dollar Tree batteries y'all putting in there, preacher. Amen and amen. All right. But in Job chapter 1, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz. I tell you what, let me take this one off because it's going in and out. And I'm going to be moving around. So I'll just, can I grab one of these, preacher? Okay. This one. It works now. And when you turn it on, amen. Okay. The Bible says in verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz. And by the way, that's not land of Oz, amen. And whose name was Job. And that man was perfect, upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And by the way, it doesn't mean he was sinless. Amen. It just means that he was an upright man. He lived right. He walked right. He did what God told him to do. And verse 2, and there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Now, you think you got a problem with your little dogs and cats. Boy, he had a lot of animals, amen?
to take care of. But in verse 4, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Now, Job was a godly dad. He wanted to make sure his children were right with God. He went and sacrificed for his children just so he wanted to make sure they were right with God. Boy, that's a good daddy. That's a good daddy. But look what the Bible says in verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord And then look in verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feared God, and it's true. And then Satan answered, and then look what Satan said to him in verse 10. Has not thou made, and what's that next word? A hedge about him. A hedge about him. And about his house, and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance increased in the land. Put forth. Now I want you to look at one more verse here in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Just one verse here. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And look in verse 8. And the Bible says, He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. And whoso breaketh a hedge, see that word? What is it? A hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Father, I want to help this church this afternoon now. I'm going to point out a simple truth, Lord. Not only will they hear it, they'll see it. It'll be very visible to them, and Lord, I pray that they'll never, never forget this. I pray that it'll save some mom and dad's home today. I pray that this truth will save some young people's life today. I pray that God will save this church. And Lord, I pray now that you would just help me and give me wisdom and as I teach this truth and give me power. And I promise you, Lord, I'll give you all the glory because you deserve every bit of it. In your precious, holy, wonderful, magnificent name, Jesus, amen and amen. You may be seated there. We see in the Bible that Job was a perfect man, upright man, a man that walked with God, a man that loved God. And Job of the goat. God is seven. Can you see it? Hey, you think, what? Wait a minute. I don't see the hedge. I don't see it there. Well, it's there. And it's me. And you can see it. And I'm going to show it to you. We're going to give you a mom and dad. All right, here. All right. Okay, y'all two, come on up here. You're the mom and dad. You have my permission to spank him if you need to. Amen. I he might spank you. Amen. But there you go. Okay. All right, and there you go. Now, get on the back side there, brother. Okay. So, okay. They're not here. We're going to get you one. Amen. All right. Okay. Where y'all at next? Y'all the school teacher. You're the school teacher. Come on. You're the school teacher. She looks like a principal. Amen. All right. And, all right, you're going to be the school teacher, okay? You got a school teacher. She cares about you. She's trying to teach you right. She's trying to teach you math. Amen? Amen. 2 plus 2 is 5. Amen. All right, she's trying to teach. Okay, get over here. You step right around like a circle. Okay, there you go. Y'all get around. Come on around here a little bit more. Okay. All right, you got a youth director. You got his wife. You got a pastor. You got another wife there. You got, hey, how about a godly friend? That'd be neat, wouldn't it? Come on, brother. You be his godly friend, okay? All right. You got a godly friend that wants you that wants you to do right. Come on over here in front here. Okay. You see the circle? You see the hedge? God's spirit? Right. Hey, can you see it? Can you see it? Manly. You can push them completely out of the way, manly. Is everybody with me? That they're not even if they're there. That you're pushing them out of your life and not even being protected. You know what? You could easily say, you know what? This friend I've got, he's a weirdo. He's one of these Jesus freaks. He's weird. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to have to start filling in some, amen? So they start tightening up. They're fighting for it. Now, they got to start tightening up. Is everybody with me? Does everybody see this? And so, they push them out of the way. Is everybody with me?
Right.
Now look what's going on. This is getting easier now. This is getting easier. And he's still luring. He's still running around, spying, eyeballing, finding an open shot. Can I have amen? So you say, well, Millie, I'm getting tired of my mom and dad. I'm getting tired of them telling me what to do. I'm getting tired of trying. I'm tired of them telling me I got to clean my room. And so what you do, you start pushing them out mainly. I don't need mom and dad. Now look what's going on here. Look what's going on. You listen to me. You better listen to me. No Satan. He's walking to and fro, the Bible says. He's walking to and fro. And he sees what you're doing. You're opening the hedge. You're opening the hedge. So you've mentally pushed these people out of your life. Now, you said, I don't need that youth director and his wife. I don't need them. I'm tired of them. I'm tired of them trying to say, let's go do these stupid activities. They're stupid. Some of the stupid activities. He's fighting for you. And you know what? What is he going to do? He's faster. He's fighting. He's fighting for you. But old boy Satan's coming around. He's coming around. He's luring around and everything. And that devil. He's having to give his family up. He's having to give his time up. He's having to give up for every effort he can, fighting for this young, for you, son. But then you decide, I'm not going to listen to him no more. I'm not going to listen to that preacher. I'm tired of him. I'm sick of him. I'm sick of his preaching. I'm sick of his standards. I'm sick of way he where he stands and everything. And guess what? Old Satan, he has open shot on you. And you folks, you listen to me tonight, today. You listen to this preacher. I've been preaching 44 years. You're protected. You're protected. How many young people, their lives are in a mess today? How many moms, dads are in a mess today? And how many church members, how many people are literally, the devil has chewed them up and just spit them out, left them to die. Is everybody with me? I want to give you four thoughts, and we're done. I want to give you four thoughts what happens when you stay in the hedge. Amen? First of all, providence is there when you stay in the hedge. Providence. You say, what do you mean, providence? Wisdom and blessings are there. Hey, you know what what's going to be provided for you when you stay in here? Wisdom and blessings. Wisdom and blessings. You know what God's going to do? God's going to give you wisdom when you stay in the hedge. You know what He's going to show you? You can stay in the hedge. Can I have amen? You are. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. For number two, can I have a look? You are safer. You're not safe at all. You're not protected at all. And let me tell you another thing. Let me tell you another thing, church. I'm talking to adults. When you get out of this hedge of the church, you're not protected. You're not protected. You're better to be right here in this church, right here. I'm talking about this church. This fundamental, independent, soul-winning, separated, old King James preaching church. You say, well, we don't like the way this church is because, man, they're too old-fashioned. Man, they don't like the, they say the women don't wear dresses and the men don't want to do this and get the haircut, do like this stuff and work this way. Hey, listen, you're protected. I said you're protected. Did you know God's always had standards? I said, did you know God's always had standards? You go back and look in the Old Testament, you'll see when he told them how to dress. He told the priest how to dress. Everybody to have a part. I might think you're taking a nap, amen. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help. You're safer in the hedge. You're safe. Why do you think he's telling women to dress right? Do you think? You know, why do you think he's telling women? Why do you think he's taking me? Can I have amen? That's the stupidest thing I ever seen in my life. Buddy, I was in a food line. It's called Food Line Store. I don't know if you ever heard of them. They're down south. They're called Food Line. And I was in a, it's a grocery store like yours here. And I was in there. There was a guy right in front of me. And he was a black guy, but he's in front of me. And I'm not kidding. His pants, his waist of his pants were around his knees. They were around his knees. You could see all his underwear. All of them. And he stood in front of me. Well, everybody, you know, is like, and there's kids, there's families in there, and, you know, it's insulting. It was insulting. So I got fed up with it. And I finally said, you know what? I don't have to take this. I don't have to let somebody like that intimidate me. I don't have to. And I said, I'm gonna say something. And I was ready. I was ready for a fight because I was opposite color and I say he called me racist and everything else. And that had nothing to do with it. I don't care if you're black, white, polka dot, your pants needs to be pulled up. Can I have amen? So because he'd be. Can I have amen? Amen. And so. I said, son, listen. I said, I'm not trying to be ugly or rude or nothing, but I said, can you please pull your pants up? I said, I really don't want to see your underwear. He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So he jacked them up. Pulled them up. Hey, you know what? Everybody around said, thank you for doing that. Thank you. They would tell me, he liked it there. She said, that just upset me. You know? But she was scared to say something. You know? Hey, but you know what? Can I tell you something, though? You know what? We're trying to protect you from that kind of mess. We're trying to take. I'm glad you preachers got standards. I'm glad. Hey, listen, I got so much standards. I'd take my wife's bathing suit back because it had a hole in the knee of it. Amen. I'm just kidding. Amen. One of them old timey ones, you know. Amen. And hey, but I'll tell you something. I'm gonna tell you something. You are protected in the hedge. Can I have amen? It's better to stay in the hedge. Don't you know that preacher's trying to protect your purity? He's trying to protect you physically. He's trying to protect you emotionally. He's trying to protect. Listen, number three, promotion is there. Promotion. Hey, when you stay in the head, God's going to promote you. God's going to promote you. You know, God promoted Job because he stayed in the hedge. Can I have amen? Hey, God promoted Job because he stayed in the hedge. He didn't get out of the hedge. Stayed right there. Look how God came back and what he did with Job. Look how he promoted him. And then let me say this last of all. Last of all. When you stay in the hedge, production is there. God's going to produce some things in your life. What's he going to produce? You ready? Joy, happiness, and peace when you stay in the hedge. You know, no matter what you go through in life, if you'll stay in the hedge, you'll be happier. You'll be happier. You know, I'm telling you, I believe there was times God said, "Okay, Craig Bryan, I'm gonna take you. I'm gonna let Satan. I'm gonna let him loose. I'm gonna let him loose, and I'm gonna do some testing on you. I'm gonna see where you're at. Amen. I'm gonna see where you're at spiritually. You preach to everybody about how to love God and how to go through the fire. I'm gonna show you what. I'm gonna see if you really mean this." And the devil started luring. He said, "Just drop that hedge. Just drop that hedge." Boy, I'm so glad that when I was going through the fire, and I go through the fire, that I decided I'm going to stay right where I'm supposed to be. I'm going to stay right in the hedge. And because of that, I've got joy and happiness. You know what? You are safer. Listen to what I'm about to say. You are safer in the fire, in the will of God, than you are in the cools of this world out of the will of God. You are safer, let me say it again, you are safer in the fire, amen, in the will of God, than you are in the cools of this world out of the will of God. And God, Satan has an open attack on you. Years ago, and I'll end with this, years ago when I played football 9 years. I love football. I love it. I love watching. I love playing it. Of course, I don't watch pro as much anymore because they don't know how to stand with allegiance for the flag. Can I have amen? But when I was playing football, I had given my life to Christ in high school, and I won 37 guys to the Lord off our football team. Two of them, I led two coaches to Christ off our football team, public school. I led our quarterback, Bobby Gillespie, I led him to Christ. Bobby was a long-haired hippie, and I used to be a hippie, now I'm a happy, amen. But Bobby Gillespie, I led him to Christ. I led him to Christ, and Bobby started growing. We started having Bible studies together every day. We'd meet at school, and we had a bunch of people coming, and we were having Bible studies, and we were leading kids to Christ, and they were growing, you know, in the public school. Well, Bobby was really living for the Lord and going well. We were playing our conference championship. I was a senior in high school. We're playing our conference championship, and if we win that game, then we're going to the state championship. We're going to the state. Well, Bobby came to me before the game, and he said, Craig, he said, listen, he said, tonight after the game, whether we win or lose, Karen, one of our cheerleaders of our school, she's having a party at her house. She's having a party. It's a celebration, you know. Even if we lose, it's still, we've gotten this far, you know, it's achievement. And stand up, she's having a party there, and we're going to go. We're going to go. And I looked at Bobby, and I said, Bobby, we can't go there. We can't go to there. He said, why? I said, Bobby, you know why we can't go there. We're Christians. Christians don't go to places like that. I said, you know what's going to be going on. There's going to be the opposite sex there. There's going to be drugs there. They're probably drinking there. They'll have rock music there. And Christians don't belong in places like that. And I took a stand with Bobby. Bobby said, oh, said, you'll go. I said, no, I won't. He said, yes, you will. I said, no, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not. And we kind of went back a little bit, I remember. And he said, well, we'll get you there. I said, well, okay. We'll see. Well, after the game, we played. We won the game, played the best game I ever played. Played the, made the most tackles, I mean, it was a great game. We won. And everybody was celebrating, you know, and everything. Well, after the game, we had to walk out the door. Right by the door, we had to put our helmet shoulder pads down there after we got cleaned up and stuff. Well, I'm walking out the door, and there's Bobby and about 15 other ball players standing there. And I walked out, and they said, you ready to go? Bobby said, you ready to go? I said, where are you going, Bobby? He said, you know where we're going. I said, Bobby, I said, don't go. I said, I know. He said, let's go to party, man. He said, we got to celebrate. We won. I said, Bobby, don't do this. Don't do this. He said, you're going. I said, no, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. I mean, we went back and forth. Well, about that time, those guys sailed on me. And they grabbed me. And, well, when they started coming at me, I had my helmet shoulder. Well, I just started swinging, amen, in Jesus' name, amen. I started popping heads with that helmet, and I was swinging the buddy, and they thought it was funny. They thought it was funny. Well, they grabbed me, and there were so many of them, I couldn't hold them all back. And they literally were dragging me across the gravel parking lot. I remember they cut this arm open here from the gravel on the parking lot. Well, about that time, my coaches came out, and they said, hey, and they broke it up, and they all took me to the, they all took, and the coach came and said, what's going on here? And I said, well, coach, I said, listen, these guys, I know they're trying to be funny, but they want me to go to this party, and you know I'm a Christian, and I can't go to that. That night, listen to this, that night I was escorted to my car by my coaches. I got in my car alone. I'll never forget driving home that night in tears, alone, standing. Listen to me. I went that night. The rest of the year, by the way, you'll never know how lonely I was that night. You'll never know. I said, God, I didn't even understand myself. I said, Lord, this is the most miserable thing, having to be alone. I remember the loneliness. Well, the rest of the year, Bobby never spoke to me one time. I would see him coming down the hallway. He'd make a dot. He'd dodge down another hallway. They used to sit in the dressing room, throw stuff over the bins at me, and laugh and mock me and call me names and call me Jesus freak and weirdo and stuff. They'd laugh and think it's funny. Well, we graduated. Never talked about it. I saw Bobby grow his hair back out long again. Well, it passed, and finally I was called to preach, went off the Bible college, gone to Bible college. Finally, years later, Gospel Light Baptist Church called me to be their bus director. They called me to be their bus director, youth director, Bobby Robertson's son-in-law. One day I'm riding down through Landis, North Carolina, and I look, and guess who I saw walking down the sidewalk? It was Bobby Gillespie. I immediately pulled my car. I had no hard feelings. I had no bitterness toward. I love Bobby. I pulled my car over and so excited about seeing Bobby again. And I jumped out of my car and I ran up to whatever. And I ran up to him and said, Bobby. I said, it's crazy. I said, Bobby. I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm telling you what I saw that day. But when I got up to Bobby, all of a sudden, this guy turned around. It was Bobby. And he turned around and he was going like this. He was going, And I looked at him, and I thought, man, he's weird. Something's wrong with him. So I got back in my car and was stunned what I saw, and he couldn't even respond with me. Normal conversation. So I go back. So a few weeks later, I saw Greg Moon, our linebacker. And I said, Greg, and Greg had gotten saved, you know, since then. And Greg apologized. He apologized to me about what happened that night. But I said, Greg, I got to ask you something. I said, a week or two ago, I saw Bobby Gillespie walking down the sidewalk. And I pulled over, and he acted weird. He said, yes, let me tell you what happened. He said, you remember that night we went to the party? I said, yes. He said, that night, for the first time, Bobby took crack cocaine. Young people, look at me. It only takes one time. One time. And he got hooked on it. And it got worse, and it got worse. And he said, the summer after we graduated, he said, somebody sold some bad crack cocaine, and it fried his mind. He said he almost died. But he lived through it. And he overdosed, and it literally messed his mind up. Now, let me tell you something. Listen to me, and I'm almost done. When I got done talking to Greg, I got my car, and I began to weep. I said, thank God. By God. And you listen to me, church. If there's one truth that I can give you today, stay in the hedge. Stay in the hedge. When you go through problems and you go through trials, stay in the hedge and you'll be protected. Can I have amen? Let's stand our feet this afternoon. Some of you, you know what you need to do? Listen to me. No talking, please. Would you come to this altar this afternoon and say, I'm staying in the hedge. I'm staying in the hedge. I'm not going to get out of the hedge. I'm not going to get to the side. You didn't stay in the hedge in your Bible reading. You didn't stay in the hedge. I'm not gonna let the devil shred my life and mess my life up. I wish I could tell you how many young people went to a Christian school that got out of the hedge. I wish I could show you how many young people were raised in a fundamental church but got out of the hedge. If God spoke to your heart, by the way, you want to come to this altar. You want to humble yourself and come to this. And look, you need to drop your pride and make an effort and get to this altar. Anywhere you see in the Bible, they went to the altar. It took an effort. It took an effort. Abraham had traveled several days to get to an altar. Why can't you leave that pew and come right up here in an air-conditioned building, that altar, and ask God to help you stay in the edge? As the pianist begins to play right now, would you come right now?